Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you once again for this opportunity to come together and to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you've ministered so much to this point that you continue to minister, Father, for the remainder of this service. And we just praise you and thank you for your mighty touch. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, a little bit earlier, Kathy and I opened up the service and we sang the song, "Let Us Worship the King." And then we sang, "Oh Come, Let Us Adore Him." And, you know, it's interesting because we sing all these songs at Christmas time and we talk about worshiping Jesus and praising Him and "Come, Let Us Adore Him." But so often, I think when we sing that, we tend to more or less forget about what that really means. Because it's like everybody sings those songs. Everybody sings them, no matter who they are. You hear them on all the radio stations. I mean, starting tonight, you'll hear beautiful Christmas music all night long and all day tomorrow. Even on some of the rock and roll stations, they play Christmas music. You know, they cancel their regular programming to play Christmas music. And I think that's wonderful. I really do. And I praise the Lord for that. Because it's like everybody is getting into the act. Even though not everybody understands the fullness about what they're doing, I praise God that at least they're doing something. And it's possible that somebody listening to that radio station could hear this Christmas song and begin to think about what it really means. So I just praise the Lord for what is taking place. But when it comes to really worshiping, when it comes to really adoring Him, sometimes I think we forget about what that really means. And at Christmas time, we tend to sometimes be a little more conscious about that. But yet, even at that, we have to examine, I think, ourselves on the inside. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it just because this is the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la, and this is what you're supposed to do for everybody? You know, my brother was at a store the other day doing some Christmas shopping, and there was no fa-la-la-la-la. I mean, he said women were elbowing each other trying to get into the racks. He said one lady knocked another one down trying to reach over and grab something. And he said, "I was never so glad to get out of a store in all my life." Well, that's not a whole lot of joy, is it? But you know what? It's possible, even in the midst of all of your shopping, to still worship and adore Jesus Christ. It really is. And we're going to talk this morning about what it really means. Come, let us worship the King. What does that really mean? Well, Christmas literally means the birth of Christ. Christmas, the birth of Christ. That's what it really means. And every time somebody mentions Christmas, every time they speak Christmas, it is actually a proclamation of the birth of Christ. And what's so interesting about that is that you'll have these people out there claim to be atheists, and they'll be singing Christmas songs, you know, Christmas this and Merry Christmas that, and they're proclaiming the birth of the one that they don't believe exists. Now think about that. Merry Christmas, Merry Birth of Christ. I don't believe in Him, but Merry Birth of Christ. And that's just, it's kind of a real contradiction. But every time that you say the word Christmas, you are proclaiming the birth of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, when you think of it in those terms, that should be a whole new revelation. Because every time that you say Merry Christmas, I mean from this moment on, every time that you say Merry Christmas, in your mind, you ought to be thinking that I'm proclaiming the birth of Christ. I'm proclaiming the birth of Christ. Because that's what Christmas is all about. And that's what it really means. Yet, the true significance of Jesus' birth and worship of Him are so lost in all that this holy day has become. And really, this is a holy day. If there's ever a holy day, Christmas is a holy day. Now, we know from historical records that December 25th is probably not the actual day that Jesus Christ was born. But yet in February we have what's called President's Day when we celebrate, you know, all these presidents. Well, they weren't all born on the same day. But yet that's the day that we celebrate it. Well, this is the day that we celebrate Jesus' birth. And since we actually don't know the exact day on which He was born, then what we have done is taken this one day and we said, all right, we don't know the exact day, but bless God, we're going to take December 25th and this is going to be the day that we celebrate. And so December 25th has become the day that we celebrate Jesus Christ and His birth. But instead of thinking about Jesus, sometimes it seems like, you know, we focus on almost everything else, almost entirely upon other people. Now, this is Jesus' birth. It's His birthday. The song says, the birthday of who? The King. It's Jesus' birthday. But yet we get so caught up in thinking about everybody else. It's kind of like going to a birthday party, a big, huge birthday party. And let's say you're the person, it's your birthday, and it's a surprise party, and you walk into this dark room, and all of a sudden the lights flash on, and everybody else, surprise! And there are lights and streamers and balloons and everything, and big cake, and it's all exciting. But they give presents to everybody else except you, and you don't get anything. You don't even get to untie any ribbon. Nobody says happy birthday to you. It's your birthday. It's your birthday party. That's what everybody's supposed to be there for, right? But nobody says happy birthday to you. How do you think you're going to feel toward the end of the day? Wouldn't you feel kind of left out? Wouldn't you feel kind of neglected? Well, now let's put this into perspective. Jesus Christ was and is and always will be God. He's the third person of the Trinity. And He made a decision that He would come to earth and He would put on a suit of flesh and live as a human being and then willingly allow Himself to be tortured and crucified so that He could pay the price for our sin. And this is His birthday. It's His birthday. Don't you think that we should be saying happy birthday to Him? Don't you think that we should be spending some time thinking about the guest of honor? To be, you know, kind of irreverent, the birthday boy? I mean, really, it's His birthday. But we get so caught up in everybody else. We get so caught up and doing all of our shopping, and you know, we've got this list, and you know, here's this, got to get this for Bobby, and this for Susie, and this for Billy, and oh, I got to get this for Mom, and this for Dad, and everybody else. And we get so caught up in the presents for others that we forget about the presence of Jesus, you see. And that's what this whole thing is all about, Christmas. That's what it's all about, is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. And we have allowed, and I'm as guilty, when I stand up here and I say, we have allowed, I mean we, all of us. We've all allowed ourselves to get caught up in everything else, all of the parties and this, that, and the other, to the point to where we've really forgotten what all this means. Think about it, folks. Worship, if there's ever a time during the year that worship should be greater, if worship has percentages of degrees of greatness and so on and so forth, worship should be greater at Christmas than any other time of the year. It should be. Even greater than Easter? Yes, even greater than Easter. Because you see, if there had been no Christmas, there would be no Easter. If Jesus hadn't been born, He could never have been crucified, and He could never have risen from the dead. Without Christmas, there is no Easter. So Christmas should be the greatest time of worship and adoration and praise and celebration of the Lord as opposed to any other time of the year, because that's the moment that He made that decision. That's the moment that it was set into motion so that we could have eternal forgiveness of our sins. Oh, hallelujah. And you know, if you were here Wednesday night, you heard a message about all the people that missed Christmas and how lonely it was for Mary and Joseph. I mean, here it is. All these years, the Messiah has been prophesied, and then here comes that day. That day in Bethlehem when Jesus is born. And all those religious leaders, man, they knew the prophecies concerning Jesus. But nobody shows up for the birth of Christ but Mary and Joseph. They're the only ones there. The only ones there. There was nobody to help with the birth. No midwife was there to help with this birth. Nobody was there, not even family and friends. Nobody. They were all alone. And sometimes I examine myself and I think, you know, how alone am I making Jesus at Christmas in my life? I mean, He paid the price for me. Nobody else did. I spend all this money on everybody else, but He's the one that paid the price. Think about this. Man, He died for our sins. Think of, just think. I mean, we can't imagine this truthfully, but if you can imagine being God and having the power to do anything and everything that you want, to create all the universe, which you did, and you make a decision to climb inside one of your creations, you have to, in a sense, lower yourself. Man, that's love. That is love. That's a love that says, I love you no matter what. I love you, and I'm willing to do this for you. And on the day of His birth, we should worship Him. And worship, you see, is not a religious activity. Because there are a lot of churches that are having services maybe right now, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. There's going to be a whole lot of religious activity. But there's not going to be quite as much true worship of Jesus Christ. A lot of people are going to show up to take communion. A lot of people are going to show up for a Christmas Mass. A lot of people are going to show up for a special Christmas celebration service and song service and this, that, and the other. And they're going to go through all the motions. But you know what? They're going to walk right out of their churches, get in their cars, and drive home and have no more knowledge of Jesus Christ than the moment that they walked in. It's because, see, it's just a religious activity. Anybody can sing a Christmas song. Anybody can take up a hymnal and sing the songs that are in that hymnal. But you know what? That is not true worship. That is not true adoration and praise. Because true worship, it's a state of the heart that most often is demonstrated by an outward expression. You see, if I tell you that I love you, if I tell Kathy I love her, I say, honey, I love you. Honey, I love you. Honey, I love you. Am I telling her I love her? I don't do anything to show it. And what's she going to think after a while? You know, honey, I love you. Well, could you take out the trash? Right. Take out the trash. Yeah, I love you, honey. Have fun taking it out. You see, if I really love her, I'm going to show it. Won't I? Now, won't I show it if I love her? It's the same thing with anybody in your life. If you really love somebody, you show it. Use this example. Anybody here have a dog? Okay. Dogs are really kind of dumb. I mean, think about it. They are. Dogs are kind of dumb. You can yell and scream, and sometimes you can even smack them in the head. And I guess if you're really mean and nasty, you can give them a swift kick up the side of the nose or something like that. And you know what? They're still going to come up and lick your hand and lick your face. And that's stupid. Now think about it. If somebody beats on me, I'm not coming around, and I'm sure not going to lick their face. But that's the way dogs are. Why? They just love. They just love. They just love. And there have been times, and this probably sounds kind of goofy, but there have been times where our dog has kind of gotten on my nerves, and I've just yelled at him, Solomon! And he gives me this look like I've really hurt his feelings. He does. And it gets to me down here on the inside. I start feeling bad because I yelled at my dog. So I go and I make up to him and all that, and we're buddies again. But you see, if it's on the inside, it's going to show up on the outside sooner or later. It will. And when it comes to Jesus Christ, it should be showing up on the outside all the time. It should. Yes, Lord, I love you. And then at night before you go to bed, it's now I lay me down to sleep. And you close your eyes and that's it for the day. Well, now, we know that God knows our heart. But if we put this in human perspective, what would you think if you were God? You tell me you love me, but are you going to show it? I mean, what are you going to do? After all, my son died for you, not all these other people. If you love me, why don't you show? Okay, well, how do we show it? How do we show worship unto the Lord? First off, folks, let's just make one thing very perfectly clear. There is no way that we can ever show enough worship that will balance out or equal out what He did for us. Now, we just can't. There's just no way. But we can sure try, can't we? We can sure try and do our best and say, Lord, I just know I cannot measure up. I can't give enough worship enough, love enough to equal your love and what you did for me. But I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best, Lord. So how do we worship the Lord? How can we do that? Well, we can worship the Lord. We can worship Jesus through sacrifice. Listen to this. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, it's just simply reasonable for a person who's born again to offer themselves as a living sacrifice unto God. You say, what does that mean? I have to sacrifice my life? Well, some people have. But no, that's not the primary meaning of what he's talking about. He's talking about, man, just offering yourself up to sacrifice yourself for his love. Or to demonstrate your worship to him by sacrificing of yourself. See, when we truly love Christ, we'll show him. We will show him. We'll show him that he is, our relationship with him is the most important thing, and he is the most important person in our life. And if that means that we just have to sacrifice a few things of our own, well then, bless God, that's just what it means. I mean, how can you say that it's not out of line to just sit there in front of the TV and watch TV all night long? Now think about it. When you could sacrifice a few of your TV programs to spend time with the Lord. Or do you have to work so much overtime? I heard a guy one time tell me, in church, in the restroom of a church, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. You know, small talk. How's work going? Oh, it's going okay. You know how it is. You know, you got to work more to get more. That's what he said. That's a direct quote. And his work had kept him out of church for a whole... That's the first time he'd been in church for a number of weeks. Got to work more to get more. That's what he said. And I'm thinking, well, wait a second. You're depending upon your work to supply your need when God said, I will supply your need according to my riches in glory by who? Christ Jesus. So do you have to work so hard? Do you have to work so much overtime? Why not spend some of that work time with the Lord? Why not spend some of that eating time on occasion with the Lord? Hey, let's face it. There's probably not one of us in here that couldn't stand to miss a meal or two and spend it with the Lord. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice something about me just to show you, Lord Jesus, that I love you and I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship you with this time over here. Yeah, I could be doing this other stuff. In fact, some of these other things over here, they're important. They need to be done. I've got all these dirty dishes, but you know, they're still going to be there. So, I'm going to spend some time in worship you. I'm going to sacrifice a little bit here. If it means I've got to get up early the next day to clean some of those dishes, well then, I guess that's just what it means. But you see, that's sacrifice. Think about the sacrifice that he made. It can't compare, can it? It can't. Well, how else? We can worship him through giving. Listen to Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Talking about the wise men, it said, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now gold, we know, is expensive. We know that gold has a lot of value. But in those days, frankincense and myrrh were also considered to be very precious items. Something that not everybody had just sitting on the shelf there in the kitchen. Frankincense and myrrh was considered to have some very great value. And so what they did, they offered unto Christ, they gave unto Jesus. These men recognized him as being the king. They came from the east. They weren't even Jews. But they recognized Jesus Christ was the king. They go into town and they say, Herod, tell us where this king's born, because we're going to worship him. And yet all the Jews, nobody shows up to worship Jesus Christ the king. So they show up, and not only do they show up to worship him, but what happens? They bring him gold, they bring frankincense, and they bring myrrh, things of great value. They gave unto him. And you say, well, that sounds all well and good, but I don't have a whole lot to give. Well, see, dollar amounts aren't as important as obedience unto the Lord. And when God says to give something, you're just supposed to give it. And you say, well, You know, most all preachers say that. Now, I've heard these fellows on TV, and they're always saying, give, and you know, they're just trying to fill their own pockets. Well, I can stand before you right now and tell you that's not the intention of this church, of this ministry, and of this pastor. I'm going to tell you what, folks, I did not come down here because the state overseer called me and said, Jim, man, we've got a church down there in Spring Grove. Bless God, they pay you a salary like you in Blue. I didn't come down here for that. I came down here because the Lord brought me down here. Money wasn't even discussed. And when you give to this ministry, I'm going to tell you what, a percentage of everything that you give, it goes to minister to people out on the mission field. It goes to help minister to people that are homeless. It goes to minister in all different areas. You say, well, why is that important? Well, see, I cannot go everywhere. You can't go everywhere. I don't know how to minister to the needs of some of these other people out here. Like some of the homeless people. Honestly, folks, I really don't know how to relate to some of them. I really don't. But yet, because we all give, and then this church in turn gives out, what we're really doing is ministering to those people. See, we're sharing the gospel with them, but we can't be there. Yet, somebody else is. And so we're helping support that, you see. And the same thing, there are a lot of other ministries out there. Kathy and I support ministries other than this church. I mean, we send money off to other ministries that we know are doing a work for the Lord. Why? Because they're doing something that we know we can't. We cannot physically go do that. But bless God, we can help support the people that are out there doing that. And so you see, I can say, look, Jesus, and I know of a fella that went to go pastor a church, small church. They were only running maybe 30, 40 people right there, but there were some rich people in that church, folks, and they had a bank account that had a whole bunch of zeros. Oh, I mean, it was like in the hundreds of thousands of dollars type range. They didn't want to spend any money to do anything. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Think about that. What are you going to do with the money? They fussed about paying the pastor. They fussed about this, fussed about the other thing. See, the Lord blesses us financially so that we in turn can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that we can get out there, if not physically, by the means of other people, to do the work of spreading the gospel. We would not have what we have if the Lord didn't give it to us. Think about that. Think about all the people in the world that don't have nearly as much as what you and I have right now. We only have what we have because the Lord has seen fit to bless us. And so you see, we can worship the Lord. Lord, I can't get out there and I can't do it myself, but I love you and I want to worship you. And so I'm going to take some of what you've given me and I'm going to give it over here and I'm going to give it over there and give it to this over here so that, oh Jesus, they can hear the Christmas story. So they can hear about your birth and what it means and the truth about your life and what you did for them so that they too can know you as their personal Savior. So we can worship Him as giving. And I want to show you something in this passage that's really interesting. When they came, when those wise men came and they gave Jesus and Mary and Joseph that money, that gold, the frankincense and the myrrh, do you know what that helped them to do? Let me show you here. This is so neat. Verse 13, it says, "And when these wise men were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt." You see, those wise men show up with gold and with frankincense and with myrrh, and they financed Mary and Joseph and Jesus' trip to Egypt. They didn't have to worry and fret about how are we going to pay for this? How are we going to live when we get there? How are we going to find a place to live? And how are we going to get food? And how are we going to... No. The Lord provided. The Lord provided for them. And you know what? At that one point in their lives, they were probably materially now more wealthy than maybe anybody that they knew because of what those wise men had brought. Those wise men were used of the Lord to supply the need so that they wouldn't have to worry. I'm going to tell you what, folks. The Lord supplies the need, doesn't He? The Lord supplies the need. So how else can we worship? With service. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, listen to this. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. See, sometimes people need something other than money. We think when we give money to people, that meets all the need. Well, let me tell you what, folks. It may meet the need of an empty wallet, but it doesn't meet the need of an empty heart. And it doesn't meet the need of a depressed spirit. And it doesn't meet the need of a broken heart. Money cannot take care of everything. And sometimes people need something other than that. When you look in the New Testament and you see how Jesus ministered, sometimes He did give money to people. Judas was his treasurer. Judas kept the money, and it was known that Jesus ministered money to other people to help them in their need. But Jesus also ministered at times with a kind word, a word of encouragement. Remember the woman that was caught in the act of adultery? And they brought her to Jesus, and they said, "We caught her in adultery, Jesus. Moses said we're supposed to stone her. What do you say?" And Jesus said, "All right, well, those of you without sin, go ahead, cast the first stone." Well, one by one, they had to leave. And boy, wasn't she thankful. And she looks up at him. And what does he do? He tells her, "Hey, listen, where are your condemners? Where are those that condemn you?" And she said, "Well, there aren't any." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." A kind word. A kind word. She needed that more right at that moment than all the money in the world. She needed to know she was loved. She needed to hear those words from Jesus. That is service. Sometimes Jesus would give a prayer. And sometimes Jesus would reach out with a healing hand. All the people that were healed, you know what? You could have given them all the money that you had. But what really touched them the most was when they were healed. When they were healed of their infirmities. When the lame were able to get up and run and to walk and to do things they had never done before. When the blind had their eyes opened and they could finally see. No longer did they have to sit by the road and beg and plead for somebody to come by and drop a few coins in their cup. Now they could see and they could go out and they could work and they could do things for themselves. Service. We can worship Jesus with service. That's just like Donna has picked up that fellow Griffin, a gentleman that's come here a few times, and oh, what a kind man he is. 86 years old, and the other night he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? She could have said, "Hey, Griffin, I'll buy you dinner. I'm going to call and have a pizza delivered to your place, and I'll pay for it." Well, sure, he might have appreciated that. But you know what? He'll appreciate forever the ride he got to church. Amen? He'll appreciate service. That's what it is, service. And I'll tell you, folks, when it comes to ministering to other people, personally, I feel like service means a whole lot more than money. And it's when we do this, when we offer these acts of service, and we say, "Lord, I don't have the money to give, but I sure do have time. I've got 24 hours in my day just like everybody else. And you know what? I'm going to do something to meet a need for somebody. Even if it's just a pat on the back or a kind word, I'm going to do something to serve you while I'm serving somebody else." And you know what? People remember that. They do. They remember that you were nice to them. They remember that you were kind to them. They remember that you did something. And sooner or later, somebody's going to say, "Why did you do that? Why did you do that for me?" And you know what? That's just like opening the door and saying, "Tell me about Jesus." Because you can tell them, "I did that because I love Jesus, and I just want you to know Jesus' love too. Oh, I don't want to hear you preaching to me. Hey, you ask me why I did it. I'm telling you why I did it. I don't know you, and we're not friends, but I just wanted to do it out of service for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just to worship Him, I wanted to provide this service." How else can we worship Him? By proclaiming Jesus to others. Romans 15, verse 15. "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God." God's given us grace, folks. "For by grace are ye saved through faith." By grace we're saved. And because of that grace, man, we ought to be willing to share that grace with somebody else. To share what the grace of God has done for us. Jesus has saved me. Jesus has caused me to be born again. I ask Him into my heart. He's forgiven me for all my sin. All my sin. Nothing is held against me. That's grace. That's grace. And when we proclaim Jesus to others, that's worshiping Him. Jesus, I love You. And I'm going to worship You. I'm going to tell somebody else what You've done for me, Jesus. I can't do for them what You did for me, but I can sure tell them what You did for me, and maybe they'll let You do the same thing for them. That's worship, when you proclaim Jesus to someone else. How else can we worship Him? By proclaiming our worship to Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, listen to this, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. See, the grace was put into your heart when you asked Jesus Christ into your heart. When you asked Him, He brought not only Himself, but everything that there is about Him, including the grace. And it says, singing with grace in your heart. Hallelujah. I've got grace in my heart this morning, folks. I have the grace of God in my heart because Jesus' blood has washed away my sin. I'm full of God's grace. Hallelujah. And when I sing, I'm singing full of a heart of grace. Hallelujah. With a heart full of grace. That's how I'm singing. And when we begin to sing these songs of praise and worship, not just the Christmas songs, but the songs in the hymnal and some of the praise choruses that we sing, you see, it's one thing to sing about Him, but it's something different to sing to Him. You know, we can sing about what a mighty God we serve, what a mighty God we serve. And we're singing about Him. But when we start singing, Jesus, I love You, I worship and adore You, we're singing to Him. And you know what? You want to experience the presence of the Lord, you start singing to Him. You start singing to Him. You start singing to Him, hallelujah. And you know what? Oh, the beauty of His presence. It begins to... Oh, you can just sense it. I mean, you can literally begin to sense His actual presence. Literally. Right there, where you are. In your car, in your shower. Washing those dishes, washing those clothes. It doesn't matter. You begin to sense His presence when you begin to sing to Him, when you begin to praise Him and worship Him for what He's done. Yeah, but I don't know all those songs. Make them up. What do you mean make them up? That's what David did. When you get in the book of Psalms and you begin to read through everything that all those songs that he wrote, those were songs sitting out there on that hillside, taking care of all those sheep. You know what he did? Playing that little harp, assuming he had a harp, playing that harp. He began to sing songs unto the Lord. And he thought, oh, that's a beautiful song. I think I'll write that one down. And he's singing another song. Oh, that's neat. I like that. I think I'll write that one down. David just sang whatever came to his heart because he was singing to his Lord. Same thing. You don't know all the songs? Don't worry about it. Make them up. Just make them up. Oh, Lord, I praise You for what You've done for me. Lord, I thank You for You have set me free. Just make up a song. It doesn't matter. Just sing unto Him. Just sing unto Him and proclaim Him. That's how you can worship Him. And how else can you worship the Lord? By going to Jesus just to be with Him. Just to be with Him. Listen to Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from the shepherds into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. What happened? The angels come and they say, hey shepherds, we're going to tell you about Jesus. He's born this day in Bethlehem. Jesus is born. And the shepherds heard the message of Jesus. And what happened? They said, let us go tomorrow. Let's get up early tomorrow. Let's finish the wash. Let's finish the dishes. Hey, let's go down there and see that baby after we finish dinner. What do you say? No. They said, let us go now. Let us go now. Now let us go. And what did it say that they do? Or what that they did? Verse 16, it says, and they came taking their time. No, it says, and they came with haste. With haste. They wasted no time.
Let us go now and see this thing that the Lord has done. See this great thing that God has done for us. They sacrificed and gave up some of their time. See, they were out there taking care of those sheep. You know what those sheep represented for them? Their livelihood. Food on the table, clothes on their back. That was their source of income. They said, "Fooey on those sheep, man, those sheep can wait. Let's go see Jesus. Let's go spend some time with Jesus." And that's what they did. And you see, we can worship Him. When we make the decision to just spend some time with Him. You say, "Yeah, but I don't always know what to pray." I'm going to say something. I'm going to throw you a curveball. Don't pray. So wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to pray. Well, sure we are. But just spend time with Him and talk to Him. So what do you mean talk to Him? Just like I am now with you. Just talk to Him. Oh, Jesus, man, what a lousy day this has been. You say, we can talk to Jesus like that? Yeah, we can. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's right there. He's right here now. And you can talk to Him when you're driving in the car. You can just talk to Jesus. You can just tell Him what's on your heart. And you know, I have found that when I begin to do that, there are times, I'm telling you folks, I hear Him answer back to me on the inside. Now, some people think that's the goofiest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm telling you, it's real. There are times I'll be just talking to Him, "How this is Jesus, how this is, how come this is, how this is." And then all of a sudden I hear Him talk to me. I hear His voice on the inside. And it's not something, it wasn't Taco Bell from last night, it's the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. Because you see, that's the way Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. He just wants us to spend time with Him. You're watching some of these dumb TV shows on television, and they are, folks. Some of them are so dumb. Just say, "Oh, this is stupid." Click that thing off and just start talking to Jesus. You mean we can have that kind of a casual relationship with Him? Yes. Because, you see, that's another part of His character a lot of people don't tell you about. But it's true. We can have that kind of relationship with Jesus just to spend time in the presence of Christ, just like those shepherds did. Let us go now with haste to spend time with the Christ child. Hallelujah. Folks, this time of Christmas, it's a time where we should be worshiping, a time we should be adoring. Yes, I know it's a time of giving gifts, and we do that. But let me tell you something, folks. The greatest gift has already been given. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. What did He do? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody, no matter who, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but what? Hallelujah. Have everlasting life.